The talk is entitled Meditation in Context, the Place and Purpose of Meditation. So, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. This is my first time here at the Meditation Conference, Australian Meditation Conference. I'm very pleased and honored to be here with the advanced meditators. A Buddhist monk, as you can tell. I don't have anywhere near 40,000 hours of meditation experience. The mathematics is astounding on that. And I'm always a little reluctant to speak for Buddhism. I don't think anyone, perhaps the Dalai Lama can speak for Buddhism, but I think I'm not the Dalai Lama. So I can't really speak for Buddhism. I come from a Buddhist context, obviously. But the Buddhism that I represent is the one that was taught to me by my teacher. So I'm in the Tibetan Buddhist lineage. I'm in the Gelugpa lineage of Tibetan Buddhism, which is the lineage of the Dalai Lama. But what I know about Buddhism was taught to me by my guru. So I represent my guru, I guess. But as you all know, meditation is an extremely important part of Buddhism in general. In fact, I would argue that almost everything that we know in the West about meditation has come from Buddhism and Hinduism. Maybe some of you know that one of the many words for meditation in Sanskrit is jhana. Lauren Rochwood had it up on the PowerPoint thing here a while ago. Jhana. There are many words in Sanskrit for meditation. I grew up in Minnesota, which is near Canada, and we always heard that the Eskimos had like 25 different names for snow because of all the different kinds of snow there is. And you know, if you've been around snow, most Australians haven't been much around snow, but you know, there's all different kinds of snow. There's, you know, slushy snow and fine snow and light snow. And there's all kinds of names for meditation in Sanskrit. They have probably, I'm guessing, 10 different words for the one English word that we have to translate it, meditation. Or, you know, sometimes people say contemplation, or more rarely, prayer. But our language is sparse. It's bereft of many of the subtleties that we find in Sanskrit. Anyway, the point is that jhana is one of those words. And when the Buddhist monks came up over the Silk Route and brought Buddhism to China, they were talking about jhana a lot. Jhana, jhana, jhana. And what the Chinese heard when the Buddhist monks from India were saying jhana was chan. And then Chan Buddhism went to Japan and became Zen. So Chan and Zen mean meditation Buddhism. In other words, meditation gave its name to a whole sect of Buddhism. The Buddhism that centers on meditation. One could also argue that meditation is literally at the center of Buddhism from another point of view. Some of you maybe know the story of the life story of the Buddha, who was born as a prince and lived in very luxurious circumstances. When I read the ancient story of the Buddha, it sounds very much like modern life, especially in Australia, a prosperous country. You know, pampered life, lots of money, foodie culture probably, in there in the palace. And very protected from the, you know, from the harsh realities of life. And so, you know, he found himself dissatisfied with that, wasn't finding the kind of happiness that was promised, you know, in the kind of materialistic life of hedonism. And so went to the jungle, to the forest, to the uninhabited lands of ancient India and tried a different method. He tried the method of radical asceticism, maybe hot yoga. You know, yoga at 45 degrees Celsius or something, you know. Self-torture, the torture of the body. And he found that didn't work either. It didn't bring what he was looking for. It didn't bring the contentment, the happiness, the true happiness he was looking for. So he found a middle way. Sometimes this is, the description of Buddhism itself is called the middle way. And it's the middle way between these two extremes, between hedonism on the one hand, and radical asceticism on the other. And sometimes that middle way is identified as meditation. Because it was under the Bodhi tree, the enlightenment tree, that the Buddha went into deep meditation and achieved his is enlightenment, is nirvana, through the technique of meditation. So meditation is extremely important in Buddhism, and on the one hand. On the other hand, in the form of Buddhism that I was trained in, meditation is regarded as a morally neutral skill. There's nothing inherently good about meditation, per se. It's a skill. And it's a skill that, I was thinking about it in terms of, you know, when I was thinking about what I'd like to relate to you. And I was thinking about the analogy of dance came to mind. You know, most people can dance, you know? Most people aren't unable to move to a rhythm. Some people are. And there are some people who I think are unable to meditate, too. You know, they have some severe ADD or something like that. But most people can dance, right? It's a sort of a natural skill that we all have. And I think meditation's like that. You know, it depends on kind of how you define meditation. But if you define meditation in a kind of a classic way, like in the Yoga Sutra, for example, you would meditation, the first sort of level of meditation is what's called dharana. Dharana. Dharana means the ability to put your mind on an object and keep it there. Jhana means keeping it there for a longer time. Dharana, jhana, and then samadhi means the ability to, you know, to be in control of your mind pretty much all the time. But these are, you know, meditation is kind of defined by being able to pay attention, by being able to concentrate. And almost everyone has that ability. We concentrate very, very deeply on a, you know, for an hour and a half, 2 hours when we go to a very good movie, don't we? Yeah, one pointedly. We don't think about anything else, and, you know, we look at our watches afterwards and go, wow, where did the time go? I was engrossed, you see. People get engrossed in their jobs. This is why people actually work so many hours often, is because they can lose themselves in concentration. This is the attraction of most hobbies, actually, is because, you know, in a hobby, we can completely concentrate. We can completely, focus. We completely focus on something that we enjoy. Yeah. So meditation is like that, I think. Meditation, you know, is an ability that we all have and that we all exercise on a kind of a regular basis, depending, again, on how you define meditation. But then there's, of course, people who are trained in dancing. You know, people who have taken ballroom dancing courses or ballet training. The professionals. And meditation's like that too. You can be trained in meditation. And there are ways to train yourself in meditation. There are techniques of training in meditation. And then it becomes something of a different thing. It's more in your power, I guess. You see, you're not dependent on something outside of yourself. You've taken control of the ability to concentrate and pay attention. But as a skill, In the Buddhism that I was taught, in the Tibetan Buddhist Gelugpa tradition, meditation is regarded as morally neutral. So the how of meditation, I would argue, the technique, the how of meditation, isn't good or bad from its own side. There's no positive or negative value to it from its own side. So a couple of other questions have to be asked about meditation. And so I'll ask those today. And just as a way to, you know, start thinking, I think, you know, just a way to sort of, you know, get our minds around what we're doing as meditation teachers. And so there's two questions that I'd like to pose in addition to the how. The how is pretty easy. You know, meditation's a pretty easy technique to teach people. You know, I remember as long as 10 years ago, you know, Lauren Bush was saying that meditation's been mainstream for 20, maybe 40 years now. And, 10 years ago, on the cover of Time magazine, there was a picture of this, you know, beautiful actress, I forget who it was, you know, sitting in lotus position out in the desert in Arizona somewhere, which is the perfect place to meditate, I'll tell you. There was all the lizards and, you know, cactus and things that bite you, and snakes, and, you know, sitting all there airbrushed, you know, looking beautiful, cover story, you know. How to meditate. Everyone's meditating, the latest craze, meditating. And you know, you opened up the pages of Time magazine, big spread on meditation with lots of graphs on, you know, the brain, kind of like what we just looked at, a lot of, like, you know, scientific findings on how meditation, you know, is good for you and stuff like that. And then there's a little sidebar, 10 years ago on Time magazine, you too can meditate, how to meditate, according to Time magazine, you know. And so it's like, well, how do I do it? According to the time of day, how do I meditate? Well, find a quiet place. Okay, fine. Okay. Now sit down. Don't move for a while. Okay, let's sit down. Don't move. Okay, now calm down a little bit. Don't try not to think about other stuff all the time. Okay, okay. And now put your mind on a word. This was you know, Time Magazine's version of a meditation technique. Put your mind on a word. And when I read that, I don't know why, but the word rhubarb came to mind. For me, rhubarb, you know, it just popped in there. And so, so rhubarb. And now you're meditating. And indeed you are. If you put your mind single-pointedly on the word rhubarb, you're meditating. Yeah, that's what meditation is, putting your mind single-pointedly on nothing and keeping it there. But what's the value of doing a rhubarb meditation? You know, does it change you for the better? Does it make you a better person? Does it make you a happier person? Does it make you a kinder, more compassionate person? Does it make you a wiser person? So the two questions that I want to ask, in addition to the how question's easy, but the two questions are why meditate, and what, or you can say on what, should you meditate? You see? If meditation is a neutral skill, then the value of meditation is going to depend on those other two questions. You see? Why meditate? Where does meditation fit into a larger structure? You see? What does it presuppose and what does it lead to? So how does it fit into a structure? That's the why question. Then the on what question is, what are you putting your mind on? What are you single-pointedly putting your mind on? If you're putting your mind on rhubarb, that's one kind of meditation. But I'll give you some suggestions from our tradition on other sorts of things that you can put your mind on one-pointedly that would maybe have a little more value. Okay?